Okay, so we're going to get started. William Hung, like, as I mentioned, he spoke here a year, 2 years ago, something like that. You may remember him as, I think of him as the first meme of the internet that I remember from American Idol. He spoke last time on his journey. He's got a new presentation on happiness. He gave me this thing to read. I'm not sure if I'm going to give it the right intonation, but I'll try. Who are you right now? Who do you want to become? You know you need to change, but it's hard to take a leap into the unknown. You are constantly asking yourself, what if I could? Today, you will learn from someone who has ventured into many things as entertainer and speaker for the last 15 years to talk about how you can find your ventures for happiness. Please welcome William Hung.
When I was teaching a high school algebra class, one day, a student said, "Are you that American Idol guy? Are you that She Bangs guy?" Those questions brought me back to 2003, when I won the talent show at UC Berkeley, singing Ricky Martin's song, She Bangs. I went on to audition for American Idol. Who were the judges? Randy Jackson, Paula Abdul, and Simon Cowell. As soon as I started singing, Randy covered up his face with a sheet of paper. He couldn't stop giggling. Paula got into the groove, and I kept going. She bangs, oh baby, when she moves, I go crazy. Then Simon said, "Thank you, thank you. You can't sing, you can't dance, so what do you want me to say?" At that moment, I had a choice. Get upset like the other contestants, or stay positive and set a new example. I said, "I already gave my best. I have no regrets at all." Paula said, "Good for you. That's the best attitude yet." I said, "I had no professional training." And Simon goes, "No, well, that's the surprise of the century." Oh, well, I didn't make it. I thought my life would go back to normal. 4 months later, Fox broadcasted my audition. And newscaster John Beard said, "William Hung is the worst singer ever." Internet critics said, "William Hung portrays the biggest Asian stereotypes." My classmates said, "Go back to school." Rumor, ridicule, rejection. Again, I had a choice. Hide in fear or live my life with courage. Here is what happened after that.
3 months ago, William Hung was just another struggling college student studying for an engineering degree at the University of California, Berkeley. And when he wasn't hitting the books, he was shaking things up at the school auditorium, doing his rendition of Ricky Martin's "Stand."
Berkeley absolutely loved my performance whenever I sing. So that gave me an inspiration to at least try to launch into the public.
So with 35 million viewers, the American Idol competition on Fox TV seemed like a good place to start.
I decided to give it a shot.
She bangs! She bangs! Oh baby, when she moves, she moves! I go crazy cause she looks like a flop, but she stings like a bee.
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
When Simon said what he said, that I can't dance and I can't sing, with a snotty accent.
You can't sing, you can't dance, so what do you want me to say?
I just stopped, paused for a second there, and then just say what I really wanted to say from the bottom of my heart.
I already gave my best, and I have no regrets at all.
He walked away from American Idol and into the American dream. Simon may have sent them packing, but it seemed the nation was hooked on Hung.
Right after the audition was over, I received over 150 emails that night alone.
Hung was everywhere, on the web and making the rounds on the talk show circuit, including a guest appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
His attention is very, very, very overwhelming. It's almost like an uproar.
When I saw him, I knew he had something very different and very special.
We saw William's performance on American Idol, and we fell in love with him.
The next thing you know, I'm standing in a volleyball stadium in San Francisco at Berkeley, offering a record.
Everybody here, you are a star.
With a $25,000 record deal, a music video scheduled to air next month on Fuse Music Network, Hung's dream of becoming a recording star appears to be coming true.
All right, there you go. Thank you. I think it's easier for me to show you a video rather than talking about it. So there you go. So I was living this dream life, but after about my 4 years, my entertainment career slowed down. Yes, it didn't last forever. So again, I had a choice: continue with showbiz or get a stable job. What would you do? Raise your hand if you want to go for showbiz. Stable job? Exactly. That's why I went back to school to become a math teacher. But as you can imagine, my students didn't see me as their math teacher. They only saw me as a celebrity on TV. I wanted to engage them, so I sang the algebra song. Positive times a negative equals a negative. Negative times a negative equals a positive. Then I asked the students to do the math problems. They refused. Maybe it was my singing. Then my master teacher gestured to me to get out of class. He said, William, if you keep this up, I will fail you. He took over the class for the rest of the day. When I went home, I cried because I felt like that was one of the most embarrassing moments in my life. It's like getting booed off the stage. Later that night, I called one of my friends who was also a student teacher. She said, William, don't take it personally. They're just kids. Her words reminded me that I had a choice: give up teaching or stay positive and overcome the challenge. From that night, I changed my mindset. I got through the semester. I survived, high school kids. But I didn't want to become a math teacher. Instead, I applied for a job from the sheriff's department. During the interview, I didn't want to mention anything about American Idol. I was worried that she wouldn't hire me. After she got through all the questions, she said, congratulations, you're hired. By the way, how come you didn't mention you're on American Idol? When I started my new job, my colleague said, oh my God, are you that American Idol guy? Are you that She Bangs guy? I was thinking, oh no, am I going to get into trouble? Again, I had a choice: quit or stay positive, work hard, and prove my value. In the first 6 months, I created systems to improve my department. When the colleagues saw the value of my work, they finally accepted me as their coworker. Yes, the She Bangs guy. After that, I delivered a presentation on how to improve my department. This led to my next promotion from the public health department, and I've worked there for the last 6 years, far from the American Idol stage. But looking back at my American Idol experience, I remember Randy was smiling, Paula was smiling, and even Simon was smiling after he said I couldn't sing. Most importantly, when people see me or hear me, they smile. With this new understanding, the next time people say, William Hung is the worst singer ever, I heard, focus on your mission. The next time people say, William Hung portrays the biggest Asian stereotypes, I heard, respond with love. The next time people say, William, go back to school, I heard, go back to school. Remember, it's not what they say, it's what you hear. That's why in the last 2 years, I traveled the world again, bringing happiness, whether through speaking, performing, or other appearances. I still couldn't believe that I finally get to perform with Ricky Martin. And here it is. Fifteen years ago, since my original American Idol audition, Ricky tried to get in touch with me. I tried to get in touch with him 3 to 4 times in the past. And then one day, he called me. Actually, his manager called me. And then we tried to get in touch. And it finally happened last year, June, at Monte Carlo, Las Vegas. So it finally happened. Thank you so much. So where am I going? Well, my new dream is to see more people discover and leverage their talent so they can become who they are meant to be. It sounds so simple, but it's not easy. And when I share this dream with my mom, she thinks I'm crazy. It's like, William, just stay with your stable job, please. It pays well, good benefits. Why are you trying so hard? And my friend would say, like, if my dream would come true, pigs can fly. It's almost like, are you my friend? So I started speaking around the world. And some of you may think this is easy. Because I have a name, I could just go anywhere I want to speak and I speak, but it didn't work that way. I started speaking about 2 years ago. And before the meeting, some of you already asked me, how did I get this idea to start speaking? Well, the first album, Inspiration, was the number one independent album on billboards. And looking back at my whole journey, that gave me an insight because that album, what was different about that album was how it had inspirational messages in between the songs. So I was thinking, maybe I don't have to be just an entertainer. I could be speaking to inspire people to make a bigger difference for the world. So I started really small. I started speaking for a breakfast meeting, graduated to be a panelist for university, and then I finally spoke at a global sales conference last year. And it's about taking that first step, just one step at a time until you get to where you want to be. And now that I'm a speaker, my friends told me like, hey, William, that's not enough. You need a book. You need a book. But in the meanwhile, while it's loading back up, so here's what happened, how I got the idea for my book. I thought people asked me, like, why do you want a book? You're probably not going to make any money just selling $20 a piece on Amazon. You're probably not going to sell millions of copies that you're hoping for. But I told my friends, I told my parents, I told them that I want to leave a legacy in the written word. I want people to know what that true story is. So, and I think it's the same for you. What version of story you want to share with the world? What do you want to be known for in the world? So that's why I started this project. This was also a very difficult project. I started this writing my book last year in February. What month is it right now? What year is it? So it's more than a year, and my book will finally come out in October 2019. But again, it's about having that courage to venture. It's about taking that first step. Because if you don't take that first step, you're not going to get to the last step. So I'm a speaker, I'm an author, and then it's not enough. So that, and then my friends and peers told me, hey, you also need coaching and consulting. What are you going to help people with? It's not about you inspiring people. You got to help more people inspire more people. So I started thinking about, okay, maybe I can help people with public speaking. And then I came across the idea of creating signature talks, because one of my mentors, that's what she does. She helps people create signature talks. And then I thought to myself, well, maybe this is something I can try. This is something I can help more people with. So the idea here is that you're not going to see the text, but it's about playing puzzle, right? Figuring out which stories goes where. It's like a 3-act structure, and I'll get more into it. So the idea for creating signature talk is that you have this presentation you can use over and over again. Why do you need it? Well, what is one of the most important questions whenever you walk into a networking meeting? What do you do? You nailed it. Exactly. So how do you communicate that to people? Whether it's 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or for an hour. It all comes back to knowing what your brand, your statement, what you do, and how you solve problems for your audience. So the first step to creating a signature talk is to identify your target audience. And then you identify the problem you want to solve. You start with your why. Where is your audience now? And where can your audience be? So once you figure out the target audience and the problem you want to solve, you can create your signature talk using a 3-act structure. So the 3-act story structure is like you have the setup, you have the conflict, and then you have the resolution. So the setup would be start with your why, so that people can buy into you. And then where is your audience now is like the conflict. What's the problem? And then the resolution is where can your audience go? How can you help them? So here is a client that I worked with recently. Her name is Kathleen, and here is what she has to say.
Extracting your own story to share with the world is never an easy process. But working with William is great because he has a good and empathic ear, first of all, for you to share with him. But he has this very keen eye of seeing what is the connecting dot, what is the relevant stories, and the more engaging and impactful one. So it's really been a great process of trying to uncover that puzzle, because being in it, it's sometimes very difficult of saying, okay, what is that great story, that little nuggets that you want to share with people? And again, working with William is great. He's able to walk you through this whole process and finding that fantastic story that's going to really engage the whole world.
So that's one of my first clients that I work with to help her create her signature talk. So let me share about a little bit more about what she does and how I'm able to uncover her message. So again, the steps are identify your target audience. So what she does is circular fashion design. So she wants to design eco-friendly products so that there's less waste and less landfill for all of us in the long term. And then she's not really competing on price because her products are kind of relatively expensive. So it's for people who believe in the value of the product. And the problem she wants to solve is that she doesn't want to just sell products. She wants to consult more companies. She wants to let more people know how they can save the world, save the resources for long term for the company. And then her why is more about the personal identity crisis. And then the audience now is that there's a lot of the big companies are still using the old method for fashion design. So there's a lot of inefficiencies, a lot of waste. And then where can they go is that they can save a lot of money and resources by recycling the materials used for fashion design. So that's the general idea. So before I close my presentation, Here's how we can connect. A couple of ways. So you have that's your phone number and email on my screen. You can also text the word champion to join my mailing list. I'll be sending you updates for my book, my upcoming events, as well as how you can create your own signature talk. So what questions do you have for me?
Thank you, William. That was very inspirational to hear your story. I'm sure a lot of us that are entrepreneurs, innovators, struggling, trying to find solutions to problems that we're working on can relate to a lot of the things that you've gone through. We're going to open up to Q&A. Please ask William questions about his journey, what he's been doing, what he is doing. This is not a great time to talk about how you remember watching American Idol, not a great time to try and do a duet with William. Questions, John, here you go.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Does anybody want to get started? Got one in the back.
Yeah. So, William, thank you for your great story. I know that there were some really, really dark times that you had to sit down with yourself. And you made that kind of a quick story. But how did you talk to yourself, or what was the process? Did you visualize, or how did you pull yourself out of those really, really dark, dark places?
Like I mentioned in my speech, is what you choose to hear. Because if you keep absorbing the negative criticism, then you it's hard for you to move forward. Now, I'm not saying that you don't listen to criticism. That's not how it works. If it's constructive criticism that gives you insight on what to do next to improve, you always use it. You always leverage that. But if it's just purely negative, like, okay, you can't do this. Go stop making yourself a joke, whatever, right? You saw some of those crazy criticisms. I can't do anything with that. I don't want to let that get to me. And it's the same thing for you and your business. You're not going to please everyone. So you just do your best because you know deep in your heart, there's value that you can offer. There's a bigger mission beyond yourself.
How long do you say it took to get to where you are, like to your best, compared when you've gone through a trail of, you know, negativity?
I feel that I'm always a work in progress. There's no such thing as my best, because each day I want to be 1% better than any other day. It's more like a continuous improvement. But I feel that the last 2 years has been much better than my previous 15 years. Because my previous 15 years, even though I'm having a lot of fun, I'm traveling the world, entertaining people, I didn't feel like I was living my life with purpose. I'm just going there because people pay me. People want me to show up. But I'm not doing it because I have a I'm fulfilling a mission that I want and other people want.
A question for you. I reviewed or took a look at your, we have the, your video from your first talk here at Friday Coffee Meetup on our YouTube channel. And so I would encourage everybody who's interested in that to take a look at that. You had mentioned that to get your first speaking gig, once you became a motivational speaker, I think it took like 1,100 tries through emails and phone calls. So that's a lot of persistence and perseverance. And now you've just written a book and you just mentioned how it's taken you over a year to write it and it won't come out until October. So that, talk a little bit about that persistence and perseverance and not giving up, because I think a lot of people might have given up a lot earlier than that without realizing the amount of hard work that it takes to become successful.
Well, I'm very grateful to have all these so many wonderful friends and mentors, and some of them are definitely in the room today. And it really takes a village of people to succeed. Nobody succeeds alone. So the idea is to embrace building relationships, putting yourself out there, and share your visions, share your values. Don't be afraid to be wrong. Don't be afraid to be not perfect. Let people know what you want to do, because that way more people can support you through your journey. And that's how I got through it, because I some of you mentioned, I went through dark times. I went through times that I don't want to share on Facebook. It's not that great. It's not that fun. I don't want to share my Instagram. Why would I want to share my Instagram banging my head against the wall? But yeah, it's about having the support so that you can get through those challenges.
Okay. Good morning. First off, let me just say that you had the guts that most people, 99%, wouldn't be able to do. So kudos to you. So that night, after all this happened and you were in private in your own space, did you ever imagine that years from then, you would wind up where you are now and where you're in the direction that you're going?
Absolutely not. Because when I was watching the audition 15 years ago, I watched it by myself in my own dorm room. I didn't want to even go out. I didn't know how the students would react. And for the most part, I thought that my audition is just like any other audition. Most people, they failed on American Idol. They don't get to have the notoriety. They don't suddenly able to create their dream out of this. So I just thought maybe I'll be a normal student the next day. But it didn't work out that way.
You are such an incredible picture of resilience, and it's really impressive. And it makes me very curious about your earlier life. What kind of challenges and what was high school like for you? What was middle school like for you? What kind of challenges did you overcome? And what did you experience then that got you to the place where you could be that person who said to Paula, I gave my best and I have no regrets?
Well, my middle school was probably most difficult years, because I actually had a bully that just didn't like me and punched me right in the eye. I'll never forget. I was worried that I was going to lose my eyesight on the right side for the rest of my life. But good thing I didn't. So I got another chance and get up and be the best person I could be. But yeah, there's a lot behind it. I feel that I was kind of a bit socially awkward. I'm kind of that nerdy guy. People don't want to talk to me. My best friends are my teachers. But, you know, I got over that over the years, because as we progress, as we mature, it's easy to connect with people with our thoughts and visions.
One of the things that I hear from your talk is the support that you receive from your friends. So I think having that team or trust people that you trust for advice and also as a sounding board for some of these ideas that you came up with, or maybe some of the ideas that others are giving to you that you can run it by them and get some feedback. Can you talk about your team and who's helping you out on this journey, you know, with the book, with the speaking tour and all that?
Absolutely. I can't do it by myself. So some of the key people I want to give credit to, I would say the book launchers helped me with my book. They are based in Los Angeles. So if you need to write a book, maybe go talk to them because they helped me with my book, my marketing and everything. In terms of speaking, I work with multiple mentors. One of them is Carol Cox. She has a podcast called Speaking Your Brand. Another person I work with is his name is Press Vasilev. He was the 2013 world champion of public speaking. So yeah, I work with multiple mentors to help to get me over the hump.
And the other thing you talked about last time was how one of the reasons why your friend suggested that you do what you're doing and to take advantage of your fame and notoriety is that others were taking advantage of that. And I had nothing to do with you. And so they were built. And then you thought, well, you know what? Maybe I can just build a business model around myself as opposed to letting other people profit off of me that has nothing to do with me. So can you talk a little bit about when you decide to launch that nowadays with social media? And you kind of talked a little bit about Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, things like that. What kind of recommendations, suggestions that you have for people here in the audience that can do something similar to that, that doesn't have the type of fame that you've achieved?
My recommendation is to position yourself as an expert in whatever field that you're in. I like my friend I work with, Kathleen, as well as a couple other friends in my network. They had you start sharing your thoughts on the topic of interest. You share with LinkedIn, you share on Facebook groups, and then you show up to networking events. Maybe you speak at a local speaking event. And then eventually, by building this up, you establish yourself as the authority, and then you have people, your voice and your vision will be heard.
Back here.
First, thank you for your talk. It was really great story. My question is, you mentioned you start your journey when you were in high school and you got bullied and you could solve the problem. You grow. Have you ever think that you can help kids that got bullied and bring them in a level that you are right now? I never got bullied, but when I see people if we tell them and teach them how to help them, help themselves, it's really good for their future, because most of the people that got bullied, they have something that never can find it. They never can see it in themselves.
Yes, I definitely want to inspire as many people to overcome the challenge and choose happiness. And I say choose happiness with an intention, because I think the idea of just going after your dream is too cliche. You have to take that first step, second step, and then the final step eventually. And everybody's journey is different. And I want to help as many people as possible. And I've spoken for a group of kids last year as well. But I do think that it's time for me to narrow things down so that I can be seen as an expert to solve a specific problem for my target audience. And that's why. But I do love helping people. I do want to reach wide, but target narrow.
Back here. Hi.
Yes. I've following up on what he was just asking about, but also just when you've talked about those low points. I mean, you're such a positive person, and each time you have these challenges put before you, whether it's the bully in junior high or these other very sort of global experiences that would have buried most of us, I mean, you persevere as others have mentioned too. And I'm just wondering how much of that is in your book in terms of talking about those low points, because I find that to be so compelling and such a hard place for people to go to and acknowledge. And by understanding that, to understand really what you're overcoming in terms of those challenges, I think is so very compelling. I hope that you're sharing that in your book. I really look forward to it.
Yes, I go very, very deep in my book, much deeper than today, because it would be a 4-hour talk if I were to go through all the things I went through. But the overall idea about my book, Champion by Choice, is some of the things I share today. How do you choose to take risks? How do you choose to go for it and persevere instead of just being like everybody else?
Thank you, William. That was amazing. Let's get a photo of you. So step down here. You've done this before. You know what you're doing. All right, everybody in the background, let's prove to the world that Pasadena's an amazing place. All right, and photo bombs, your marks, get set, go. 1, 2, 3. Up. Oh, what? How many pictures is this taking? Hang on. It just took like 40 pictures. Okay, one more. Your marks, get set, go. Perfect. It's taken another 40. Okay. Thank you, William. That is truly inspirational. We're very happy to have you back, and good luck on your journey. So before I open it up to announcements, I've got two quick announcements. One is June 14th, which is in just a couple days, we have First Look SoCal at the Pasadena Convention Center. I'd like to invite you to come out, and it's going to be a investor. Early stage companies are going to be presenting to investors. So you'll get to network with some companies, hear their ideas. I can give you a coupon code. I'm going to send an email out later today for a coupon code to have a less expensive ticket. So, and that's being put on by our good friend, Andy Wilson. I'd also like, next week, we have Minnie Ingersoll, who's sitting here, who's also one of our new co-organizers. She's going to speak on her journey from, she started in Pasadena, going to the Bay Area, working at Google, having her own successful startup, and now being a VC. So she's going to talk about that journey. I'm very excited. It's amazing to have you back in Pasadena. And so we're very excited to have you